All you people out there listening to the late night on WWCR with what's that guy's name? What's that guy? Who am I sitting in here for? You here with the Wolfman, the Jack, and I'm back in the crack with the Jack on the late night with William Cooper. The hour of the time. So sit back and get your pizzas, grab your girl, and get ready for some rockin' and some rollin'.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher's teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study so hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone.
Let me go! Hey, let me go! Hey, let go of me! Hey, yo, let go of me! I ain't leaving nowhere!
Oh, boy. Boy, Jim, I'm glad you got that guy out of here. I don't know where he came from, but, wow, what a nutcase, I'm telling you. Boy, welcome to hour number two of our session on what do you take with you when you got to run to the woods? And we left off in the early hour. We covered all the clothing, the shoes, the socks, the underwear, the tent, sleeping bags. We did all that stuff. We talked about the Alice pack and the... take it from here, Jim. Well, I'm glad that guy's out of here. He was making me very nervous.
Wolfman did, yeah. Well, folks, What we're going to get back to now is what I had, what I have packed in my pack and my butt pack. But first of all, I wanted to let you know, through the Brigade Quartermaster catalog or the U.S. Cav, they also have a card deck on edible and poisonous plants of the western states and a separate deck for the eastern states. They're in color, and they do explain to you the different plants that you can eat when you're out in the woods and in the backcountry, what you could survive on. They also have another deck of cards called Survival, and for instance, the hearts in the deck are on breathing, bleeding, shock, hypothermia, and frostbite. The diamond part of the deck covers fractures, wounds, heat stroke, heart attack, bites, and stings. The clubs in the deck are for preparations, campsites, shelters, fire starting, and signals. Then the spades in the deck are water, food, and becoming unlost. Remember, you never get out lost in the woods. You get yourself unlost. And then, like I said, I was going to give you some phone numbers, which I have, of the Brigade Quartermaster and the Cav store. And where to get your MREs is a good source of those. It's called Resourceful Foods. They're in Indiana.
Now, Jim, just hold up a minute, because we got a lot of people out there who don't have the foggiest notion what an MRE is.
An MRE is a meals ready to eat. It's something that the military come up with early in the 80s. And a lot of people have heard of the old C rations, food in a can. Well, now it's food in a package. It's much more desirable than the old-fashioned LERP rations that we had in the earlier days in the military and in Vietnam, where you added water and had to wait for the water to be soaked up by the dried food that was inside. And a lot of it was, let's face it, guys, was real atrocious. But the new MREs that have been developed are very good. And Resourceful Foods in Indiana, you can call information. Unfortunately, I forgot that number.
You know what city it's in?
No, I sure don't.
We'll have it for you tomorrow night, folks, so don't worry about it. We'll have it tomorrow night when we continue with this series and with Jim. And for those of you who weren't listening to the earlier hour, I guess I should give you some introduction as to what we're doing. We're giving you the information that you need if you want to be an integral part of a militia unit. When the old proverbial you-know-what hits the fan, everybody who really cares is going to have to go off somewhere and be able to survive and fight a war if we want to save this country. And so what you're learning tonight is what you need to take with you, and just what you need to take with you, and nothing more. And you want everything to be as light as possible, as economic as possible. There are some things you don't want to be economical with, and that's your shoes and your socks, your footwear. You want to make sure that everything that you purchase will do exactly what you need it to do, but have it weigh as little as possible and take up as the least amount of room as you can possibly have it take up. I've already told you what we covered on the earlier hour. If you're interested in having that material, you can order it from us. If you're not a CAGI member, tapes are $8, and just specify February the 10th, and make sure you say the early show. Remember, we do two shows a night, one at 5 Pacific, 6 Mountain, 7 Central, and 8 Eastern, and another one at 9 Pacific, 10 Mountain, 11 Central, and midnight Eastern. So whenever you order a tape, specify the date, the subject, and either early or late. So if you're a CAGI member, of course you know that the tapes are $6 for you. All prices that we give on this program are post-paid. You don't need to include any extra money for postage are handling. So we're going to continue from here and go into all the other items that we haven't discussed yet tonight. And tomorrow night, don't miss it, because we're going to start on the early show talking about weapons, ammunition. We're going to talk about all these things, radios, all of the things that you're going to need. And we have with us an expert, a military man. He's a leader of a militia unit somewhere within the continental boundaries of the United States of America, and we're not going to tell you where, nor are we going to identify him by his real name. But he knows what he's talking about, and when he talks around the people that I know, they listen, and I advise you to do the same. Go ahead, Jim. Take it from here.
Okay, now getting into the Alice pack and the frame that I carry, weighs approximately 47 and a half pounds.
That's
loaded.
That's packed, right?
That's packed. In the what I have is a medium-size Alice pack with frame and kidney pad. And on the outside attached to it is my extreme cold sleeping bag, which is a U.S. Army-style sleeping bag. On the outside of my pack, I have many items attached to it. I carry a spare hunting knife and a machete. I also carry some pouches on the outside that have clips on them that's easy for attaching, which I keep a lot of small items in there, such as your sewing kit, trioxin fuel for your little stove. It's a little camp stove, and these little purple tablets are hot enough to heat a canteen cup full of water. Then I also carry fire starting equipment, camo paint, wire, and approximately 50 foot of parachute cord. These things are very useful when you're building a shelter and things of this nature. And then in the outside of the Alice pack, you got three extra external large compartments, which I carry a wash basin in one, TP, toilet paper, some extra fire starting sticks.
Now, I know somebody out there is getting a little confused. We have to remember this is radio, and we know what we're talking about, but they don't. When you say a wash basin, I know there's a lot of people out there that see you with a sink draped around your neck. So.
No, what it is a collapsible canvas wash basin. You can find them in several different type of surplus stores. They're OD, and some are in steel white canvas. You can find some that were used by the British during World War II.
Now, we got to remember also that these people out there, some of them know what we're talking about, Jim, but a lot of them don't. What's OD mean?
OD is an olive drab color.
Okay.
And so anyway, there's you carry your sewing gear, you got your candles, carry extra candles with you, flashlight batteries for your flashlight that you'll have attached to the external part of your Alice pack. Also, you'll have what they call an E-tool or entrenching tool, which is your folding shovel. I carry a steel-handled camp axe. A lot of wooden ones, they're very good, but I carry a steel one because they don't break, and you also can use it. It's tough enough to use for prying if you have to, if you're in a situation.
Now, we've all been out somewhere, even in the house. I mean, flashlight batteries go dead, and I know you've got something to take care of that. You don't need electricity. What do you have to recharge your batteries?
What I have is a solar-type battery charger. It's very compact. It's, just probably the size of a cassette tape. And I can charge four AA batteries into it. I also have one on order that will carry two D cell batteries. And that way, if I'm using my shortwave radio to either listen to the hour or the time when I'm out hunting on my shortwave, and the batteries go dead, I have an extra set that's already been in my pack charging from solar energy. I just leave them on a rock in the sun while I'm out hunting or what have you, and that way I always have fresh batteries out in the field, and the same thing for my flashlight. I have in my flashlight conventional batteries that I put a piece of masking tape around them, and I date those batteries of when I put them in there. And every few months I check the strength of the batteries, so I always have batteries when you need them. And many times a person will have a flashlight and grab for it, and the batteries are dead. Well, you just have to learn how to manage the life of your batteries. Then in the main compartment of my pack is where I carry a mess kit and my extra clothing. I carry an extra T-shirt, shorts, pairs of socks, my regular pair of pants, a towel, washcloth, another shirt, my mess kit, and a toilet article kit.
And what's a mess kit for all those people who have never served in the armed forces? And there are more people now who have never served and never will than there ever has been in the history of this country, probably.
A mess kit in the military is a folding, it's a pan with a folding handle, and it has a cover on it, and when you open it up, it has eating compartments. And you also can use the pan to warm or make any type of food that you have with you in that, if you so desire. And then I carry some extra MREs, which are meals ready to eat. There are several flavors out there. Some people don't like them, and others do. Myself, they're not bad, and when you're hungry, if there's no place else in town, that's the best thing going. You can eat them cold, you can warm them up, eat them right out of the package, so you don't have a lot of utensils and waste of time there trying to clean up.
Now, that's a specific... You don't get the whole big meal packs, and there's a reason for that.
Yes. There's a lot of stores out there that handle the big brown envelope, and they're called MRE packets. They're packed approximately 12 to a case. Inside the MRE dinner is an entree. You also have in there some type of fruit or a cake. You also have maybe applesauce or beans with them, a packet of dried coffee, a small, and I mean small, napkin, and it suffices, supposed to be for toilet paper, matches, and some chewing gum. You go and buy one of these packets in most stores, and they're $5, $6. What I generally buy is just the meat entree. But most places sell them for around $1.50 or so.
Now, when you say meat entree, it doesn't mean it's just meat. It could be like a rice casserole dish or a stew,
right,
with vegetables.
I have a list of the many entrees that are available. You have spaghetti and meat sauce. You have meatballs, rice, and tomato sauce. You got scalloped potatoes and ham, corned beef hash. You got chicken and rice, chicken stew, egg omelet, and tuna and noodles, for instance. The list continues. I think there's five or six more flavors out there. And they just come up with a new one called pork chow mein. So I just carry this here particular entree with me. And it's just a little bit better and a little bit more economical to carry that than a lot of unnecessary items that are contained in the package.
And, folks, they're an awful lot better than the bunkety buckers and beans that that we had in our sea rations in Vietnam, I can guarantee you. And one of the reasons that you don't want to get those big meal packs is you want calories, you want nutrition, you want low weight, and you want little space. So if you just take the entrees, that fits the bill, and you can take quite a bit to eat. We'll give you your daily number of calories, we'll give you good nutrition, and you're not taking up a whole lot of space, nor are you putting a whole lot of extra weight in your pack. And we all know that where fruit may taste good, and it's part of a balanced diet, it doesn't give you all that much nutrition that you need when you're working, walking long distances. You need good staples, and that's what you get in the entrees.
Yes, another thing, don't forget to carry wind and waterproof matches with you. Keep other matches in a waterproof container. Some items that you don't want to get wet, use bread bags, plastic. They'll really do a good job on waterproofing. In your toilet kit bag that I also carry in my pack, I carry a small bar of Ivory soap. Myself, I use Ivory because it's real gentle and it mixes real good with hard water that you'll find out in the hard water in streams and in some of your wells and wherever you might be getting water, so it works out fine for me.
It also doesn't leave you with a coating of perfume wafting downwind for somebody to smell.
Oh, that's true. That's true, Bill. And in these toilet articles, I also carry a small vial of shampoo, toothbrush, toothpaste, and I call Cordate anti-itch cream, which is very good, Menin's medicated powder, or Goldvon. They all work good. You got to remember, if you're out there hiking, you're going to get chafing, whether you're man or woman. Chafing occurs to everybody, whether it's your pack straps on your shoulders or in the genital area. This could be a real hamper to you on when you're on the move. So you have to protect these areas. And hygiene is very important out in the field. Wherever you get a chance to stop and wash up a little bit, rinse out socks, underwear, and what have you, very important. You can take these items and put them on your pack if you have to move, and they will air dry. Even in cold weather, they will air dry. And you can always set them up at night if you have a little campfire or a little heat from your trioxin and fuel will change the temperature. Your clothing will dry.
And so, one thing that any Vietnam veteran will tell you, if you've been out away from a place where you can bathe or shower, anytime you have an opportunity, no matter how brief it is, wash or take a complete entire body bath anytime and every time that you can.
Okay. Another thing we've experienced out in the field, carrying additional food beside MREs such as dried rice and dried corn. You can roll these up into half-pound packages and put them in your shirt pockets and your pants leg pockets if you're wearing the BDU clothing. It distributes the weight. And if you don't have the availability of a fire or you're running low on MREs, you can chew corn and chew rice, even though it's dried, and it will swell up in your stomach and take the gnawing feeling of being hungry away from you. So that's one thing you can do. We've had some question as to wearing the woodland and black BDUs. The question was raised, would you blend in with the regular Army? Well, the only things that are out there is in surplus is this type of clothing. And it's readily available, and it's a lot better than wearing a lot of street clothes that can be seen, such as blues, greens, yellows. So we just have to know who each other is.
Well, it's not only that, but by the tactics being demonstrated by whoever it is that you're watching, you can generally tell who that person is associated with or who those people are associated with. Remember, militia units will be fighting a guerrilla action. They will be hitting targets of opportunity, and they will not be demonstrating the tactics that normal enemy forces would demonstrate if the United States were attacked or occupied by an enemy power. So this is one way that you can get around that. There are also signs and signals and small things that you can put on your clothing or on your pack, front and back, so that you can be readily identified by your fellow militiamen, but that the enemy would not associate those identifying marks with anything in particular.
That's true, Bill. Now, another thing, after you have your pack put together, you want to carry a poncho with it. I carry two ponchos, one with the LC2Y suspender unit, and the other is with my pack. You want to build yourself a first aid kit. My first aid kit contains of a dozen aspirins and a dozen cold pills. The Cordate cream, small tube of Neosporin, which is an analgesic cream, antiseptic for cuts and scrapes. Adhesive tape, assorted band-aids, razor blade. I carry gauze pads in there, 3x3s, a couple of oval eye pads, most of all chapstick, a small bottle of iodine or methylate to clean an infected wound. I carry water tabs in there, tweezers, and alcohol pads, some of the basic items that you'll need. Of course, you can leave anything to the imagination and grow from there on a first aid kit.
You should also have a couple of large battle dressings or wound dressings, which are just large gauze pads with straps coming off them, gauze straps, so that you can tie them on a large wound. And if you can't find those in a pinch, Kotex sanitary napkins are sanitized. They are the next best thing that you're ever going to find.
Okay, now, some of you are wondering what I'm talking about on LC2 and my Y suspenders. Most times down through the military, even going back through the Civil War and Revolutionary War, men carried packs on their backs, and they always carried suspenders to hold up some of the equipment they were carrying. Well, during the end of Vietnam, they came up with a Y-style that was a heavy sewn nylon, and you attach this to your pistol belt. Now, your pistol belt carries a lot of weight. A lot of times, if you don't have one, you're out hiking, camping, what have you, and you're carrying a canteen of water, for instance, on your belt. Pretty soon your pants start slipping, and you've got to stop and keep pulling them up all the time because of the weight. Well, your Y suspenders attached to your pistol belt will carry your one-quart canteen cup and cover. It'll also carry your butt pack. Some people are familiar with the word fanny pack. The military has a larger version called a butt pack. And also on my pistol belt, I carry my hunting knife and a couple other additional pouches for carrying different items. But in the main part of the backpack, I carry a mountain climber stove, the trioxin fuel matches, and camel paint and so on. And then on my shoulder, I carry my compass and a small pair of compact binoculars. And I also carry some high energy candy. It's called dextrose candy. Here again, a lot of surplus stores are carrying it. And it was put out by the Civil Defense years ago. And we opened up some of the cans, and that candy is still as good as the day it was packed. Also, when we've been out hunting, or you can go down to your local butcher shop and make you up some jerky. Whether it's deer, beef, elk, jerky is real good to chew on when you're out in the field, and it keeps you full. And again, on the LC2 gear, I carry a poncho with me, and I carry what they call an emergency or space blanket. Also a small survival saw. And they also have water straws and water tabs that we carry, AccuFilter, and Aqua Portable Water is a good water tab. The AccuFilter straw is very good. It takes out a lot of elements in the water, to include heavy metals. Carry an extra package of fire sticks in it, some assorted nylon ties. These are these nylon strips that that are self-locking. A snake bite kit, half a roll of TP. I never leave home without it. Fishing line, insect repellent, skin lotion, unscented preferably. Now you might say, well, we have a lot of items here, which we do, but they don't weigh that much. You can go to a lot of the big stores and buy the travel case models of it, which are the small bottles, or repack it into smaller bottles or containers themselves. And here again, like I say, you can take 2 or 3 pounds of rice and corn, put it in smaller packages, distribute it around your uniform, and it's just easier to carry and a little bit compact that way.
Also, this pack that you're packing is not for everyday humping over the mountain. This is to get you from where you start to where you're going to set up a base camp of operations, and then that pack and these items, most of them will stay in your base camp, and you will operate from your base camp with a lighter pack or just a butt pack in your field gear and rifle. So don't get too carried away by the weight. You've got to have these things to survive, and you're going to be out there a long time. So just remember that. It's time for the break, folks. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Some people say I'm a no-cut, but I think I should. Oh, yeah, doing what I think I should.
It's a world of entertainment up here.
And I don't give a damn about it. The Pentecost is a change for a wailing song and a ticket up. The only thing that I understand, oh boy, the only thing that I understand.
Well, folks, believe it or not, there's a lot of people who really live their lives that way. And, of course, when catastrophe comes, they're not prepared for it. And they're the first to fall by the wayside, unfortunately. That happens to a lot of people, and I know that it's happened to someone that each and every one of you out there knows. You don't ever want it to happen to yourself, however. So on top of all of the things that we're discussing here tonight, and we'll be discussing tomorrow, and maybe even in future episodes of the Hour of the Time, you're going to need something that is recognized universally, no matter where you go, no matter who you're dealing with, as real money, that will have instant value the second that you produce it. And you need to have it in small enough denominations so that you don't end up spending $500 for a loaf of bread or for 5 rounds of ammunition. The only thing in the whole world that we've been able to pinpoint that's ever fulfilled this need in the manner that we need right now and in the future weeks, months, and years to come is precious metals in its various forms, specifically in the form of coins that are easily recognized and identified by anyone who looks at them. No matter how prepared you are, no matter what you take into the field with you, no matter what you've stored up over the years or what kind of precautions you've made, there will come a time when you are going to need money. Money. If you studied the New World Order, you know that you're not going to be in that system, and you're not going to be able to use their medium of exchange because you're not going to be in their computer. And that's the only way that you're going to buy and sell in that economy, folks, because eventually it will be cashless. You know that. So call Swiss America Trading. They've stuck by us through thick or thin, and they're paying for the airtime for 2 hours of the Hour of the Time every night now, Monday through Friday, so that we can continue to bring you these messages until they come and take me away. And I will be here doing this right up until that very moment, folks. We don't have much time left. Prepare yourself. Look around at the faces of your loved ones, and if you cannot assure them right now that you've taken the necessary steps to make sure that you can pull out something that someone will recognize as money and be able to conduct your business on the spot anytime in the future, then you need to call Swiss America Trading right this moment. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. And for you slowpokes, once again, 1-800-289-2646. If you don't, there's going to come a day when you're going to knock on the door. You're going to be hungry, thirsty, or you're going to need shelter, and this is the answer you'll get.
Keep a knocking, but the king come in. Keep a knocking, but the king come in.
Well, Jim, let's continue with this. I know you got a lot to go. And if we get through in time, we'll take some calls. We can't take any calls right now, folks. We got too much to cover.
Okay, folks, if you have your pad of paper and pen with you, which you should have, here's a phone number. It's a 1-800 number for the Brigade Quartermasters. And they're out of Georgia, and the phone number is 1-800-338-4327. That's 1-800-338-4327, which is their order toll-free number. The one for the U.S. Calf Store is... It is 1-800-777-7732. That's 1-800-777-7732 or 1-800-333-5102, Monday through Friday. You can call these folks up and they'll be happy to mail you out a catalog. You can go through the catalog and check some of the items that I've advised you about this evening. Further, one important thing that you must have is a watch out in the field. And I do have a battery watch that I wear every day. But for field use, it's better to have a wind-up watch that does not have a battery.
You're talking about the old-style mechanical watch that... You don't have to go into town to the jeweler to have the things kick-started again when it stops.
Yes, that's true. Beside that, these quartz watches, it's possible that they can be detected. So, therefore, we have decided to go with the mechanical or wind-up type watch.
How about a compass, Jim?
Compasses, you have the military Lasmatic compass, which is a good one. Bruton Company has a real good compass. It's about $15. Your military compasses will run anywhere from $49.95 to $86. Also, Victorinox makes the Swiss Army compass. Both Bruton and the Swiss Army have instructions that are real self-explanatory. A lot of the scouts I've seen carry both the Bruton and Swiss Army. They're very compact, lightweight, and easy to read. It does not hurt to learn how to use a compass. And I've ran into many people and hunters and backpackers in the mountains where things are located that don't know north from south, east or west. They'll ask you, for instance, to go to one area. Well, you tell them, well, it's over on the east side of that mountain or what have you, and they say, well, which way is that? People should know their directions, but you'd be surprised how many people do not.
I'll give you a real quickie lesson right now. The sun comes up in the east, and it sets in the west. If, folks, if you face the sunrise, the north is always on your left. If you're facing the sunset, the north is always on your right. At night, the stars do the same thing. If you have a clear night and you can see where the stars are rising above the horizon, that's the east. Where the stars set, that again is the west. The star that doesn't move in the sky, always seems to stay in exactly the same place throughout the night, is called the North Star. And that should get you started, but you should go down and get a chart of the constellations and learn those, because at night you don't want to be flashing lights around, and you don't want to be you don't want to give your location away. If you can navigate by the stars primarily, it will do you good service, believe me.
Okay, another thing I wanted to bring up, Bill, I know time is getting on, is that you folks out there ought to go, if you live in a city or out in the country, when it all comes down, the main thing that you're going to need to survive on is water. So go to your local camp store, surplus store, where they sell this type of equipment, and check into the different water straws, your water tabs that are out. Try them. A lot of the information is right there on the counter in brochures. Get familiar with that. Also, there's larger units that cost up to a couple of $100 that will serve and produce several gallons of water per day. Another thing you're going to need out there is get a insect repellent. Check out a good snake bite kit. Cutters makes a good one. For chap lips, Chapstick, Carmex, Blistex. There's nothing more painful, I've said that before, than a pair of chapped lips when you're trying to eat or talk and they keep splitting on you. You do have a hard time with that. So there's many other things that you can do. Get these survival books that I've mentioned. Read them over. Talk with other friends that you might know that are hunters, backpackers, fishermen. Have a little fishing equipment with you, some fishing line, sinkers, some hooks, and that way you will be able to fish in a lake or a pond or a stream where there is some fish, and you always got some way of eating and surviving. This is mainly what we're trying to get across. Myself, don't get me wrong, folks, I don't intend to come off with the impression that I know it all. I don't. I have learned from others. Every day out in the field is a learning experience. Nobody knows it all. A couple of guys talking together just might come up with one idea more than another. So other than that, it's up to you to make the decision and go forth with that decision and stick with it, and don't procrastinate. Get out there, get the job done. Time is getting short, and you just have to get yourself into condition if you want to survive what's coming.
That's right. And we're going to take some phone calls now, folks. So if you want to call, 602-333-2174. Don't forget, tomorrow night we'll be talking about weapons, knives, ammunition, magazines. We'll be talking about all of those types of things, tactics, when you should get together, how you should get together, how you should learn to operate as a guerrilla team against targets of opportunity and for sabotage against any enemy that might attack and occupy the United States of America. In order to restore the Constitution of the United States of America to its rightful place as the supreme law of the land. Remember, the law is on our side. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, I'm enjoying your program, and I'm going to get your tape from the earlier program. And probably, how many tapes do you figure you're going to have, sir?
Well, it'd be the two tonight and two tomorrow night, and then we'll play it by ear. We'll see if we've covered everything. If we haven't, then we'll go forth. We plan to have some future episodes of how to set up militia units, civilian resistance units, an intelligence network in your area, and so on and so forth.
Okay, I just had a quick question. I heard about the electronic watches radiating. I understand that if there's a national threat, that satellite communications will be one of the first things to go. But let's say it's a government, or you know, our government going bad.
Our government can't go bad. Our government would be taken over from within by some malevolent force, which we believe has already happened.
Right. So I'm pretty. My question is: do these global positioning portable jobs work? And would you recommend getting some?
Well, you just remember who's controlling. Yep. Radiation of the frequencies that give you your position, and that'll give you your answer.
I understand. Okay, well, thank you very much for your time, and I'm looking forward to the weaponry and everything tomorrow.
You're welcome.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you for calling. 602-333-2174 is the number. Jim is here. He's the leader of a militia unit within the continental United States of America, one of the more successful ones that's been formed and in operation for a long time. They maneuver together. I don't want to tell you too much. If you want to ask questions, ask him. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I was listening to you and what you're talking about, and I have one question. Where the hell is the guy going to go if this happens?
Well, you can either get out and fight the war with us, or you can go to bed and pull the covers over your head. That's your choice.
Well, I guess that really didn't answer my question, though. I mean, I live out in a rural area.
Yeah?
Just, there's really nowhere to go. that I know of.
Well, you have to find somewhere to go. You have to find somebody to go there with. We can only give you so much information. I don't know where you live. I don't know anything about your area.
Okay.
You should know every water hole. You should know every stream. You should know every lake, every well, every mine shaft, every cave, every nook and cranny, every mountain, every tree.
Well, that may be all good and well, but then do we just sit here?
Somebody else out there got a brain you can call. We can't hold your hand and change your diapers for you, folks. You're going to have to use the brain that God gave you and come up with some of these answers yourself. There's no way in the world we could help that gentleman in no matter what kind of answer we gave him. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Tell me something about passive infrared. You know, these new technologies that are out. I don't have anything about what they can do, what they can see at night.
They can see any type of light spectrum radiation.
Body heat.
They can see body heat.
How do you guard against that? How do you protect against that?
Well, there's various ways. One is the intelligent use of what they call solar blankets. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes.
Okay. If, in fact, they really wanted to discover you, they can do that. The problem is getting to you with some kind of a weapon that's going to do any good by the time they know that you're there. If you're a small unit operating and the members of your unit are spread far enough apart, even if you're detected, by the time they had a weapon on the way, you've melted into the woods. In other words, they don't have a smart bomb for a human being. They've got the ability to spot a human being in a position, but by the time they get a team there or a weapons unit there, that entire small unit can just evaporate into the woodwork. We suggest that you know or create many different underground facilities, and it might take some time for you to do that. But there's going to be periods of time when you need to be underground.
Okay. Do the new BDUs have that special type of chemical I was once told?
Jim?
How long does it last? Can I go to an Army surplus and still pick up a used BDU and still be partially protected under that, whatever that is?
There's a an item out called Sport Wash, which you can wash your clothes in, and it keeps the UVs down. Also, there's a spray called UV Killer that they've used to dip the clothes in, which will keep the UV colors in, and you won't be so predominant.
That help?
Yes, quite a bit.
Good.
Thank you so much. Enjoy your program.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. 602-333-2174 is the number. If you've got a question, you need to be hitting your redial button because there's a lot of people calling, and if you want to get in, you got to just keep your finger on that redial button. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, my name is John. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Hi, John.
Hi. I'm just calling regarding, I'm actually a first-time listener, and I heard you talking a little bit about militias. How can we get one started legally?
Well, the first thing you need to do is get a copy of the United States Constitution. You need a copy of your state constitution, and then you need to go to the United States Code and look up the definition of militia. What you're going to find is the militia consists of every able-bodied man or boy between the ages of 17 and 43 who have never served in the armed forces. That's the unorganized militia. If you've served in the armed forces of any state or National Guard, or of the United States military forces, then you can be a militia unit way past the age of 43. So all veterans are militia till they die.
Yeah, because I have some very bad feelings of what could happen in the next 5 to 10 years, some very negative things, especially with what's going on in the world events, and I think normal, decent people have to defend defend themselves in this time when it comes up, and it sounds like that's what you're telling us, and this is what I've been feeling for the last 3-4 years.
We're trying to prepare the American people for any eventual invasion by any force that would occupy the United States and endanger the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
And we are number one. That, you know, that being military people, and that type of philosophy didn't sit too well with me when they were teaching us that.
Well, you have to understand that career military people, by their very nature, become, if they're not when they join the military, they become socialists during their time in the military. You have to understand that they have no constitutional rights. Why should they care about the Constitution, number one? Number two, everything is provided for them. Their bed, their food, their clothing, everything. All they have to do is obey orders. And, of course, you know, if you live in the civilian world, you have to be responsible. You have to provide your own food, your own clothing. You have to earn your own money. Now, people who just go in the military and get out, serve a hitch and get out, they don't get brainwashed that way. But people who stay career military all their life, eventually develop a socialist mindset. We happen to know that the upper echelon of all of our city, state, federal governments and the military are controlled by these secret societies, and we can document this and have during our episode of the Mystery Babylon series, and we have some more documentation that's coming. We're going to tell you right out of the publication of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, the Supreme Council of the 33rd Degree, just exactly when the military began to be infiltrated, just exactly what the names of those organizations are, and we've got their magazines going all the way back to the beginning, and this actually started right around 1917, 1918 in the military.
Do you think this type of thinking, though, could be detrimental to civilians, that if this new world order fully kicks in and takes over? Could they use something like this against?
Use something like what against us?
Well, this type of mentality that not only just the military has. But
well, that's what's creating the new world order, my friend. Without that kind of mentality, there wouldn't be a new world order. Socialists are children. They have to have a big daddy to protect them. Unfortunately, when you have a big daddy protecting you and giving you benefits, you have to give up something to big daddy in return, and it's always your freedom.
And you served in Vietnam, correct?
I certainly did.
Oh, so you and I can say something about this and not be hypocritical or...
Absolutely right, and so can this gentleman sitting here.
Okay. Also, because I'm a new listener, what days and what hours can we catch you on the Pacific Coast?
Monday through Friday night, Pacific Coast at 5 p.m. and again at 9 p.m.
Great. And at the end of the show, could you give an address where we can send a letter to get more information about...
Yeah, there's always an address given after the show signs off and the last music plays. They'll give you an address and a phone number.
Great. I'm glad you're out there, and keep it up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night. Thank you for calling. We got time for one or two more calls, folks. 602-333-2174. And, well, we'll make this the last call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, the telephone number for Resourceful Foods is 1-800-782-7478.
Wonderful. Can you repeat that, please?
1-800-782-7478. And you want their fax number?
Yes, please.
Okay, the fax number is 1-317-966-6774. That's area code 317-966-6774.
Thank you very much.
Hey, have a good night.
Thank you, and thank you for calling, and thank you very much for that information. Well, Jim, you wanted to make a statement before we leave the air and sort of wrap things up, and you got a couple of minutes to do it in here.
All right, I wanted to make a closing statement. You know, folks, this program has been an inspiration to a lot of us and to myself. It's been like a tree of knowledge, and from that, going on in our country and what has happened to our Constitution and Bill of Rights. And most of all, the right to believe in our God Almighty. When the free spirit of man and mankind starts to wake up, if it isn't too late, then freedom will ring throughout the land, and liberty will win out with the help of God against the New World Order. I myself call the New World Order bunch a bunch of carpetbaggers. Remember, the tree of knowledge is vast, so is shortwave radio and the hour of the time. So listen and learn, folks. Listen and learn. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. That was very nice. I call the New World Order the New World Odor, and I got that from a friend of mine. I did not coin that phrase, folks, but it is certainly appropriate. Now, I want to talk to you before we go into the closing here about something very important. I know a lot of you are afraid out there. So were our forefathers. So was every single man or woman that ever stood up for the truth, for freedom. We are never free, never have been free, and never will be free. The law is on our side. Begin with the Declaration of Independence. Start reading the statements and conversations and letters of all of our forefathers. You will soon begin to understand that we will prevail. And the traitors who have destroyed this country are going to pay. They will be rounded up. They will be tried. They will be, if they are guilty, executed. Good night.
Good night, sweetheart. Wherever the time to call. Good night, sweetheart. Wherever the time to call. I hate to leave you. I really must say. Oh, good night, sweetheart. Good night. When it's 3 o'clock. In the morning, baby, I just can't get right. Well, I hate to leave you, baby. Don't mean maybe, because I love you so. Good night, sweetheart. Whenever